Good morning. So I just did that to check the microphones, but I also wanted to greet you. I'm a bit of a loose end today. My wife is away and has been since Thursday and won't be back till tomorrow. So the house is a mess and I have a meeting at my place this afternoon at 2:30. So I've got to get it cleaned up. She told me, make sure you clean the toilet, Peter. And vacuum the carpet, so we'll get there. This is quite a great topic, I think. This is called a perseverance, and it's part of the series we're doing on prayer. Have you seen that before? I guess a lot of you have. I just love that picture. The frog that is not giving up, right at the end, he's still holding on, and this poor stork can't swallow him. I thought it was a great photo of it. Picture speaks a thousand words of not giving up. This is a really interesting story of the widow, and it's one which a lot of the parables are a bit kind of what she's saying. The disciples ask him, what does that mean? This isn't one of those. This is a really clear parable where Jesus makes the point right from the very beginning. I'm giving you this story so that you won't give up on prayer. Well, let's look at the story a little bit. Background to it, the judge. It must have been one appointed by the Romans because Jewish judges always worked in a team. So a judge alone is a Roman judge. And they had a reputation for being very, very corrupt. They were called, I'm going to try to say this in their language, Dianae Gezeroth, which means judges of prohibition, but behind their backs, people called them Dianae Gezeroth, which means judges who are thieves, judges who are robbers. So if you wanted your case heard and you wanted justice, you had to pay for it. Otherwise, your case, we wouldn't get a fair hearing. So money was the thing. Let's hear about the widow. A widow in that society represented someone poor and defenceless. Normally, a woman would rely on her husband and her children to take care of her. This woman has neither. She's poor and defenceless. No social security to take care of her. And in this situation, she's alone in the world. For those times, she was a very, very vulnerable person, with no one to stand up for her, no one to defend her. And what about the situation that she's in? So obviously, someone is ripping her off, and they're getting away with it. Someone who probably knows they'll get away with it, with a widow. And there are people back then and still today who will prey upon the weak. So a grave injustice is being done, and nothing is being done about it. So with no money, what does she do? No money to bribe. With no money and no one to defend her, all she has is persistence. She would not give up. Night and day, she comes to the judge pleading her case. Even though he consistently turns her back, she's saying, I will not give up. It says it was the widow who kept coming, and he says, the judge, she keeps bothering me. She's wearing me out. The NLV that up there says attacking me. I don't know why. That's not a good translation of the word. It actually means in the Greek to wear someone down. She's wearing me down with all this. All this coming back and keep asking me. I wondered today, or have I heard a story of someone in a similar situation? And I thought of the book Rainmaker by John Grisham. I don't know if anyone's read it. And in that book, there's a story. It's about a woman who has a son who has leukemia. And she puts in an application because she's been paying insurance. She puts in an application for insurance claim so that he can get treatment and he could be okay. Unfortunately, letter after letter from the insurance company denies her claim as she keeps asking. And I'm going to show a 30-second, you've already seen a video, this is a much shorter one, 30-second video from the movie Rainmaker, where she's in court, she's standing up in court, reading out the 8th letter that she got from the insurance company denying her claim. Could you show this, please, Raj? Not coming? Not coming. Okay, that's okay, because I've got it written down here what she says. So imagine a woman, use your imaginations now, she's standing in court and she's got Matt Damon as a defender. I think any woman would want Matt Damon in her corner as her lawyer, you know. And he's put up the words of this letter that was sent to her, and this is what it said. On 7 prior occasions, this company has denied your claim in writing. You must be stupid, stupid, stupid. In the movie, she starts to cry. And Matt Damon has it up on a screen, the copy of the letter. This is what the insurance company is saying. Did she give up? No. She kept coming, and that's why she's standing in court. She just kept coming and kept coming. Not a well-off poor lady, but she is going to find justice for her son and get treatment for her. This widow's in the same position. She's not giving up. I will get justice. Despite overwhelming odds and everything stacked against her, she's saying, I will get justice in this situation. I will keep going. Good will triumph. I will get justice as long as I don't stop, as long as I don't give up. And really, that's the one simple point of his parable. And Jesus says it right, verse 1, he says, that they should always pray and not give up. I want to talk a little about prayer and you know, not giving up, but I want to just, as an aside, talk about the judge, and because there is a sense that is the parable saying that God is like an unjust judge. But the point of the parable, first of all, is not the character of the judge, but the reaction of the woman in the face of an unjust situation. The character of a judge just highlights how desperate her situation is. In fact, what Jesus does is contrast the character of a judge with what we know, what God is like, God the Father is like. For in Luke 18, this verse that was read out, verse 6 and 7 said, the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, but will God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting him off? Question, and the answer, of course, is God isn't like that. God will listen to his people. Now, it reminds me of the verse in Matthew 8 where Jesus, again, talking about the Father, says, if a son asks his father for bread, will he give him a stone? If he asks for an egg, will he give him a snake? You know the answer to that. Of course he wouldn't do that. How much more, says Jesus, will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? Let's come back to the question of prayer and giving up. I don't know how many of you saw the story I put in the newsletter this week. A few people read it. Yeah. Just quickly, I don't want to go through the whole story, but it's a true story that really caught my attention. Some time back, a lady called Florence Chadwick decided she would cross from the coast of California to Catalina Island, 42 kilometres. I would find biking 42 kilometres difficult, but swimming it. The story goes, she had about 5 boats around her as she's swimming. I didn't mention that her mother was one of the people in the boats there to encourage her, make sure sharks, you know, don't get her, make sure she's going in the right direction. She'd been swimming for quite a while when all of a sudden a thick fog set in, and that really brought despair. She can't see where she's going. I guess the boats are still steering her, but it really got to her. And after an hour, she just kept swimming through thick fog for an hour. After an hour, it's enough, I can't do it anymore. She called for the boats to come over, and she got in the boat and she stopped. Now, if you read the story, you know what happens. They row the boat a little further, the fog clears, and what does she see? Catalina Island, you know, about a kilometre away, not far. When you think you've swam 41 kilometres, and there 1 kilometre away is the island. And she'd given up because of the fog. You know the story that eventually she did do it twice, and when the fog set in, she just remembered what the shoreline looked like. But I kind of, that speaks to me, because there are times when I'm praying when fog seems to set in. And I think for us, and I'm going to say for me, but I really think this touches almost everybody here, I pray for my family. I pray for my children. I pray for my grandchildren, my daughters-in-law, my sons-in-law. And I've been praying for them over and over and over. And sometimes fog kind of sets in. They take a turn away from what I want for them. All my kids came to the Lord when they were little kids. My kids came here to Suds, Bruce, way back in the 80s. They gave their lives to the Lord. And all but one are now not walking close to him. They haven't turned their back on God. I'm sure they still pray from time to time. That grieves me. And I pray earnestly for my children. Isn't a day that I don't pray for them. And I think most of us are in that same boat, you know, in a similar situation. And at times it just seems like, you know, is it going anywhere? Is anything happening? Things don't always turn out in that situation as I want them to. Sometimes the faith required to keep going is sometimes even greater than the faith required to start the journey, I think. And this parable really is about hanging on and not giving up, even if we don't see the results. Even if we don't see the results of our prayer. Many years ago, I became a Christian at the age of 20, and I led my mother to the Lord within the first year. She led my sisters to the Lord, three sisters. They led their husbands to the Lord, and so it grew. And for a while I thought, I started that. But I didn't. Not at all. Because I remembered something. That were about the age of 12, we were migrants from Holland. I had no aunties or uncles or grandparents in Australia. But one day my father's mother came to see us. I said, about 12 years old. She was strange in that she only spoke Dutch, no English, and she would go up to people in the supermarket and ask them about a product in Dutch. Is this any good? And of course, I'm just embarrassed. I'm going, oh, please. But that wasn't the worst embarrassing thing. The most embarrassing thing for me as a 12-year-old that she did, she, in her free time, which was a lot of the time, she sat in a corner with a Bible and read and prayed. I kind of looked at that. She's just sitting there reading a Bible and praying. And I look back and I think, what would she be praying? She's in the home of her oldest son and his wife and his children. What would she be praying? Did she know the power and effect of her prayers? That she was sowing seeds in our lives that would take many years before they would bear fruit. And she didn't know. She would go to her grave not knowing that her daughter-in-law became a Christian, eventually her son before he died, and her grandchildren became Christian. She would not know that. And to me, that's an encouraging thing to say, we are planting seeds. Even though at times it feels like it's going, no, it's a waste of time. They're getting further away from the world, further towards the world and further away from God. And I think God's saying, you're planting seeds. Don't give up. Please keep going. Second thing I want to just mention, that video was helpful that Tony showed, because I want to talk about the fact that at times when I'm praying, and I wonder if this happens to you, I just hear these little voices saying, God's not really listening anymore. God's not interested. Or you're not worthy of an answer to prayer. There's sin in your life. Or it's hopeless. Your prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling. They're not going anywhere. I really strongly believe this is the voice of the enemy. He's called the father of lies. And this is a strong phrase I want to say. This really came to me preparing this. As soon as we pray, we're entering a different arena. As soon as we pray, we're entering a different arena. Spiritual warfare. Go and see why that video was helpful. You know, that was really about spiritual warfare. I forgot to use these, haven't I? Not working. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So we give up. No. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand. Paul knows that as soon as you pray, you're entering into spiritual warfare, and you're fighting not flesh and blood, in fact, spiritual forces of darkness. Stand your ground, Paul says, stand your ground. The other verse is 2 Corinthians, another one. We live in a world, we don't wage war as the world does. We fight with the weapons that are not the weapons of the world, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. That's really what that movie is about, destroying strongholds through prayer. And this is what's happening when we pray for our kids, and it's why, or our families, or our work situations, or our health. This is why Paul says, stand firm. Don't let the enemy bring you down. And when Jesus was tempted by the devil, and this kind of stuff coming at him, what did he use? How did he stand against the devil? He used the word of God. That's standing firm. The sword of the Spirit. Shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. These are two texts I've shared a bit with you before, but one, when I get thinking all this stuff saying, oh, it's a waste of time, God's not listening, this is a confidence we have in him, says John. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He's listening. And if we know that he hears us and whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests we've asked from him. And you will say to me, but that says, if it's according to his will. Did you think that? You should have. That's there. And so the next verse helps me when I'm praying, particularly for my family. The Lord is not slow to do what he's promised, as some think. Instead, he's patient with us. He does not want anyone to perish, but wants everyone to turn away from their sins. The word used there in the Greek is repent. He wants everyone to turn around. He's not willing that any should perish. So when I'm praying for my family and people I know, my neighbours, God is not willing that any should perish. So I'm praying according to his will when I pray for them. This is standing on the promises of God. This is standing against the enemy that comes with his negative thoughts. I'm sure, in fact, I saw a few people nod when I'm talking about it. We get that stuff coming at us all the time. Paul's saying, stand firm. Stand firm in what God has done for you. I want to finish with what I'm going to call the final choice that we have, particularly in regard to prayer. And I want to take us to a verse that a guy called Gene Getz, in a book he wrote, shares a powerful insight about this. And I'm going to share it with you. I'm going to read it to you. The background is John the Baptist has been thrown in prison for calling out Herod's sin, and he's about to be beheaded. Now remember, John was faithful. He stood up for God. He led many people to the Lord, baptizing and preparing the way for Jesus. And this is what Matthew 11 says. When John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, that's his cousin, Jesus, he sent disciples to ask him, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? John has some doubts. He's been faithful right to the end, and he's about to lose his life. Things are not going the way he expected. Not the way I would have expected him perhaps to go for one of the heroes of the faith. And he wants to know, has it all been a waste of time? Or is this something, you know, have I been opening the doors for the right person? And this is Jesus' response. Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, and those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is the one, and I'm going to say, blessed are you, John, if you do not stumble on account of me. Blessed are you if you do not stumble on account of me. I think they're powerful words to speak to a man in prison, wondering, is it all going according to plan? And Jesus is saying, blessed are you, John, if you don't stumble. The word in the Greek is to scandalize. Blessed are you if you're not scandalized by the way things have turned out. That really helps me, because there are times, I've had to a number of times do funerals for children, and I come away from those with a lot of questions, deeply grieved, numb in lots of ways. And these words come back to me. Blessed are you, Peter, if you don't stumble because of me. If you're not scandalized, if you don't fall away because of what's happened. And I think that that's a really important word for us, because I think that's the sort of things that stops people praying. I know people that once walked with God and have stopped talking to God, stopped praying because of some difficult, painful thing that's happened in their life or in the life of the church or in the life of their loved ones. And bad stuff happens to good people. And it shouldn't, but it does. And I think when God would speak to you and say, blessed are you if you take no offense at me. Blessed are you if you continue and keep going. Keep walking with me. Keep trusting with me. Keep praying. And this is a choice we need to make over and over again, I think. Not to walk away, but to continue to hope. To continue to trust in God. This is what the widow was doing. She did not give up and walk away. In prayer, we need to keep coming to God. Let's pray. You knew what you were doing, Jesus, when you spoke these words many years ago. You knew that we would struggle, that we would want to give up sometimes, that we would start with passion praying, and then at times we would just, our prayers would just peter off and we'd get less and less enthusiastic and faithful. And you gave us a story to remind us that you want us not to give up. Keep praying. You are sowing seeds in the lives of your families and people around you. Don't stop. I'm listening to you. I hear your prayers and I'm listening to them. Father, I pray we would be obedient to this call and this parable today. Encourage us and enable us, please. We pray in your name, Lord. Amen.